sand in my hair and sand in the sky and sand in my shirt. And there's an overlord trying to take over the sand, and we don't want him to take over the sand.
Sand in his shoe and sand in his hair and sand in the sky and sand in his shirt. And there's an overlord trying to take over the sand, and we don't want him to take over the sand.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Thursday, February 29th, 2024. Happy Leap Day. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Podcast listeners, this is for you.
Next to him, it's the bearded one, Matapsha Hot Boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-yo! And last but not least, over yonder, making the magic happen, super producer J.D.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Shout out to everyone joining us live right now on YouTube. Hit the like button, subscribe. Podcast listeners, do your boys a solid. Leave us a 5-star rating and review. A little bit later in today's pod, we're hitting the beach. We're going to get some sand in our shoes, reading your emails and your tweets, answering a few of your questions. But we start with the games from last night, and LeBron James powers the biggest fourth quarter comeback of his career. Mm-hmm. Lakers enter the fourth down 19 to the Clips. It goes up to 21. Game looks like it's over. LeBron said, no, watch these three-pointers. Caught fire, had 19 fourth-quarter points, and the Lakers mount that shocking comeback to win 116-112. Again, the largest fourth-quarter comeback of the Kings' 21-year career.
LeBron remembers everything of his career, every pass he's made, every teammate he's made. He was asked about it after the game, immediately after the game. He didn't acknowledge it whatsoever. He just said, you know how he did? We just kept the main thing. I just wonder, did George Sedano stump him, or did he just not want to care about coming back from 21 points? I love those moments with LeBron because he's just so friggin' smart. He actually just went into the things I care about here are Cam Reddish, 14 games out. He's back after 14 games out. He just remembers those tiny little things. That's what he cares about. He cares about his injured teammates, and that's what he cares about going into the end of his career. Youngest player to score 19 in a quarter. He did in his rookie year when he was 19. Is he the oldest? No, Michael Jordan had a 20-point quarter when he was 40 years old. So he'll do this next year past Michael Jordan, I assume. Then we can talk about the GOAT. He's just splashing threes in that fourth quarter. Five threes. I guess he saw Max Strus the night before and said, I can do that
if too, Max
man.
Can do it, I can do it.
Anything Max can do, I can do better.
Yeah, he single-handedly, LeBron did outscore the Clippers there in the final frame, 19-16, because the Clippers were turning the ball over left and right, and LeBron, yeah, he had that stretch where he hit three right away, 5 of 8 from deep in the queue, and he had 4 assists as well. And that's, you know, they started throwing a double at LeBron, and he just started making the right pass, and then it was Rui and D'Angelo Russell hitting big shots.
Yeah, when LeBron does something that LeBron hasn't done yet, it's pretty special. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy's played 9 million career games, and he finally has a 21-point comeback in the fourth quarter. The three-pointers were way too easy, I thought, for LeBron. His first one, an open catch-and-shoot in transition. He pump fakes. Norm Powell goes flying by, knocks it down. Next, they run a play for him on a catch-and-shoot. Gets a good screen, knocks it down. Then a pull-up in transition. Later, another catch-and-shoot in transition. Then he had Daniel Tice on him on a switch. Hit him with the classic LeBron step back, mm-hmm. knocked it down. This is the best three-point season of LeBron's career. He's shooting 41% from three, taking 5.5 per game, which is the 6th highest of his career, but the 5th highest three-point rate, the percentage of threes he's actually taken. Michael Jordan, as he aged and had to figure out how to combat slightly lessening athleticism, he was in the low post shooting fadeaways the whole time. LeBron, since he's gone to LA, has become an incredible three-point shooter, and you saw it last night. He was hitting all these threes. That brought him back into the game. Then the Clippers were in switch mode, and they were giving up the switch way too easily. It was either Harden or Powell or Daniel Tice, who did not have a chance in this one. So then the Clippers had to start doubling LeBron. He was just getting off the ball so easily, trusting his teammates, and they were making shots. Rui hit the big one from the corner. He had another one where he catches the ball, drives, and finishes at the rim. And then there was the D'Angelo Russell three, where him and Rui are both standing in the corner.
Yeah.
One of them had to take it. Not the greatest spacing, but it went down. So great stuff from the Lakers to be able to pull this one back. They outscored the Clippers 18-2 off of turnovers in the fourth quarter. I think the Clippers thought they had this one won, and clearly they did not.
Yeah, that D'Angelo Russell one where you said they were sort of standing side by side there in the corner, you're right, not the great spacing. But that was the one where D'Angelo Russell caught it high, kept it high and shot it high. I think J.J. Redick pointed it out on the broadcast. That's always wild to see when the ball is up there and doesn't have to dip or anything. He's done that before, too, D'Angelo Russell. And that was a big one with about 75 seconds to go. But, yeah, the turnovers, man, just did the Clips in. The Lakers had 31 fast break points. They made all 14 of their shots when they were in the fast break, when they were on the run. Didn't miss. And a lot of those coming by way of a Clippers turnover.
It was a wild comeback because in the second quarter, the Lakers looked all right, but their bench stunk. And then all of a sudden in the fourth quarter, their bench put it together. This was the best Spencer Dinwiddie game, I believe, as a Los Angeles Laker. He looked good out there. Six helpers in his game out there, even though he got popped once and he was rubbing his shoulder, but he held out. Cam Reddish, as I said, came back. And that's what the Lakers need to get everybody back. As LeBron said, it's the kryptonite from this season. A lot of their guys have been injured. I know that kind of flies under the radar, but we'll get to the NBA standings a little bit later on. That's going to help as these guys come back, maybe, perhaps, a Gabe Vincent sight. But yeah, in the fourth quarter, those guys got it together. Dinwiddie, Reddish, Torian Prince, who's moved to the bench, and Jackson Hayes. Those guys really did put it together. As you guys said, the turnovers and the Clippers bench is one issue for this team. If you look forward going into the playoffs, they have the 21st best bench. It's something they have to work on, no matter what.
They were missing some big guys last night. Obviously, Paul George, Zubats.
Yeah.
So then other guys are put into that role maybe they're not comfortable with. Yeah. But you are right.
I like the Lou move of keeping Norman Powell on the bench because he was awesome. In that third quarter, to end it with that shot where he's fading away to hit that three, he's great, obviously. But, yeah, the injuries, as we all know with the Clippers, it might catch up to them. Paul George just injured again. At some point, we will be wondering. And they have a tough schedule the last 6 weeks here.
So LeBron, 34 points, 6 boards, 8 assists, 2 blocks in 37 minutes. Again, in his 21st year in the NBA. And this, in theory, what a way to close out the franchise's hallway series here between the Lakers and Clippers. Unless they meet in the postseason, which they never have, so I don't think it'll happen again this year.
That's a good point.
Never Wednesday, last night, it marked the final regular season matchup for these two teams while sharing the same arena because the Clippers are moving to the Intuit Dome next season. So LeBron puts a dramatic fashion, a little stamp on the final game here, probably between the hallway series of them sharing the same barn. What a game. Weird one. I'll admit, I had to watch this fourth quarter this morning because I thought it was over when Powell hit the three. I'm like, okay, that's probably a wrap. Didn't see LeBron catching fire from distance there to obviously bring them back in to get to the victory, and that got them it bumps the Lakers ahead of the Warriors there in the
all
the way up to ninth.
What happened on that last play for the Clippers? Because Kawhi was pretty upset. He definitely thought he got fouled, but I didn't see a replay on it.
Yeah, the little
LeBron
baseline.
LeBron was getting credit for the defense, and it was really short.
Yeah, that's true. Did he get him on the arm?
Don't know.
Yeah, they didn't show us one on the replay. But good look for Kawhi. You're right. Like, got to sort of his spot there, and it was well short, though. And then LeBron threw it up ahead, and that was the game. Well, moving on from the Lakers' big comeback, Jamal Murray scored 32 points, and the Nuggets, they used a big run to crush the Kings, 117-96. So Denver avoided losing all four games to Sacramento this season. That was one team they sort of struggled with, but they got they took care of business last night. No De'Aaron Fox in this game. He was a late scratch from the lineup. I think he has like a left knee contusion. Went sort of through warm-ups, and then an hour before tip, they said, no, you're not going to play. But still, impressive stuff here from the defending champs. TK, your takeaways.
The Nuggets are locked in right now. They haven't played the greatest schedule since the All-Star break. They played the Wizards and Blazers. Those are easy wins for a championship team, but they have beat the Warriors and Kings in their last two, 4-0 since the All-Star break. Apparently, Nikola Jokic sent a text that got them all fired up for the second half of the season. They're fourth on offense, they're seventh in defense in these four games, third in net rating, and they just look like a much bigger, faster, athletic, and better team than the Kings last night. Aaron Gordon was a +40 in 24 minutes. And I thought he was just kind of running wild out there. There's just nobody that could really match him athleticism-wise on the Kings, especially with Fox out. Not that he's going to be guarding Aaron Gordon, but somebody at least run with him. Some great shot-making from Jamal Murray. He had a fadeaway where his back was to the basket when he went up for it. They called it a corkscrew. He had that layup over his head that even got him and Nikola Jokic laughing at the pass and the finish. He's one of the best shot-makers in the game, and he's been on fire since they came back from All-Star break. It's just unfortunate that nobody got Nikola Jokic a birthday present. His teammates are terrible.
I think the Kings teammates of Keegan Murray were a little terrible. He got off to a great start in this game, and then he barely shot the second half, and he was their leading point scorer in this one, especially with De'Aaron Fox out. All that to say, it's fine for the Kings to lose a game without De'Aaron Fox. I think they did have a 15-point lead in the second quarter, and that game went away because the Nuggets are a typical championship team. They win a championship, and then, you know, they may have some off nights. But as you said, Trey, the second half is when they're ready, focused, ready to win this thing. It is odd that the Kings have won 3 of 4 games against the Denver Nuggets this season, and won in Denver, obviously, among that. So all that to say, yeah, they just didn't play all that hard defensively when you had Jokic sitting at the elbow, sitting wherever he wants. He's just looking around. I'm going to pass it to these guys. And they were just back-cutting the heck out of the Kings. The Kings were getting picked off. And those pick screens were opening guys up. So that's it. Jokic can just find everybody.
This quote from KCP caught my attention because I was a little surprised by it. He said, "We came in after the All-Star break. Everybody had the same mentality, the same goals in mind. And that's to get back to the number one spot and try to get back-to-back." That's what raised my eyebrows. Not the back-to-back. Obviously, they win another championship. Want to. The number one spot. We sort of look at the Nuggets like, do they really care? Do they really want to get up to the number one seed? You know, he's saying it. Maybe that's part of the Jokic text here. Like, to come locked in here and, like, let's go and get home court advantage. Obviously, playing in Denver, it's a hell of an advantage with the altitude. So I was like, okay, maybe that's one of their goals here for the final, whatever, 20 games or so.
2 games out right now.
Yeah, it's not far behind. Jamal Murray, just to put a bow on this, 13 of 15 from the floor, 5 of 6 from deep. The Nuggets are 31 and 12 in games that Jamal Murray plays. And one of those losses was against the Bucks not long ago, where he exited with an injury, so he only played like 17 minutes. So really, really dominant record when he plays. And I was thinking, like, is this guy going to make All-NBA? Because there's a lot of guards, obviously. And, you know, now we don't need to do the forwards and guards. Like, it's just 15 best players, so maybe that helps out some of these guys. He didn't make the All-Star team, but does he have an All-NBA case? 21-6-4, shooting splits of 48, 42, and 88. PER over 20. He's obviously super important to the Nuggets' success. But he's got to play in a lot of games to hit the 65-game threshold. He's got to play in 22 of their final 23 games to maybe get there. And we've already talked about the shin splints and stuff like that. So I don't think he's going to play the game. I'd be shocked if he does. And then even if he does, let's say he just plays from here on out, man, it'd still be tough to make it over some of those guys that are going to be on the third team when it comes to the guards, be it Booker's, or does Halliburton make the 65-game threshold, Brunson, Anthony Edwards, Curry, it goes on and on and on. Not to mention, obviously, Luka and SGA as first-team guys. But I think he's not going to make it this year, but he'll be just there on the fourth team that I'll name, maybe, or the fifth team moving forward if you do that again.
Yeah, that 65-game rule has been disputed by most players because of not making an All-NBA team, because it gets you more money. And so that's what players are upset about. And I think going forward, like Steph said, okay, it shouldn't be 65 games minimum for every award and every acknowledgement in the NBA. And going into next season, that may be where something has changed for the six main awards when you're talking MVP, Rookie of the Year, etc. Not Coach of the Year. I guess coaches have to coach more than 65
games.
Well,
it doesn't matter for Rookie of the Year. Right?
Oh, that's
right.
A good
that's
point.
That's the one it doesn't matter. So, yeah, and Steph's saying, yeah, why not NBA. Maybe some of these other ones? Yeah. But anyway, Jamal great game Murray. From Jamal. And TK, you're right. He's on a heater right now, and he's one of the best guys in the league to watch when he's got it going because of the shot making. It's just unreal.
Best player to never be an All-Star.
There you
Lock
go.
Lock it in.
There you
man.
Go.
He'll make one, though.
Yeah, he will make one, I think. Other Western Conference games. I'm just going to chuck them at you here, and then we can look at the standings. Anthony Edwards, 34 points. The Wolves move into first in the West with an easy win over the Grizzlies. Luka, his 11th triple-double of the season on his 25th birthday against the Raptors. 136-125 Dallas wins. And then the Pacers beat the Pelicans. So the Pelicans, I believe, the only Western Conference team, outside of, I guess, the Kings and the Clippers that also lost to other Western Conference teams. So they lost 123-114. So JD, throw up the West standings here, and you guys can like touch on any of those games from last night as we see, you know, a crowded West. I mean, 3.5 games separating the 5th-seeded Suns and the 10th-seeded Warriors. You know, that's 1.5 weeks of really good play or really bad play for the right or wrong team, and you're swapping spots. But yeah, TK, any thoughts on any of those games last night?
Yeah, I've got some thoughts on a few of these games here. Where do you want to start? How about the Timberwolves? You said an easy win.
Yeah, I guess
they got off to a really slow start. Yeah. The Grizzlies were up 14-0. Timberwolves didn't score until Karl Anthony Towns hit a three with 8:44 left in the first quarter. That's interesting to me because Minnesota does the thing where their fans don't sit down until the home team scores. That's 3 minutes and 16 seconds of standing. Wow. I wonder what the longest time is, though, that one of the teams that does it. Like, I know the Thunder,
yeah,
Thunder or another don't sit until we score kind of team. I wonder what the longest time
that
the home team has had to stand is. It kind of seemed like it took 2.5 quarters for the Timberwolves to really lock into this game. They were giving up a ton of second chance points. The Grizzlies were out running in transition the entire first half. But then, starting the end of the third quarter into the fourth, the Timberwolves really locked in and completely shut them down defensively. They got out on the break, and they were just going to the rim every single possession in the fourth quarter. That, to me, looked like an elite team saying, we can just play it easy here until it actually starts mattering. And that's how the Timberwolves won last night. But I was feeling bad for their fans having to stand that whole time, man. Some tired legs. I'm sure people... Mm-hmm.
Do you think anybody quit on it?
Oh, yeah.
They're just like, I'm just sitting down.
They'll score eventually.
What do you think of any of these games or that one in particular?
Well, yeah, going around the NBA, it was great to see Obi Toppin throw down some monstrous dunks for the Pacers. Haliburton went off the glass to him, and he threw down a little cradle, and he knows that Jacob Toppin should have been in the finals for the dunk contest. I'm sure he's upset about that. He should have been over Jaylen Brown. Come on.
Did you see the Jacob Toppin dunk making the rounds that he was going to do in the finals?
Maybe that's why I'm sold. But also, Jacob Toppin was awesome with those first two dunks.
And Jaylen got some kind scores. Jaylen Brown.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Obi Toppin had great blocks in this game. He was blocking on the perimeter, blocking CJ McCollum from shooting a three. He looked great for somebody who's not known for his defense to help out that Pacers bench. Full team win in that one. It was a little frustrating watching the Raptors home game against Luka come in, because they're fighting until the third quarter when the bench fell apart. We talked about it yesterday. Maybe this bench is so good they'll come up with a nickname, the Bench Broskies should be back or something to that effect, but the bench just fell apart in that third quarter. Bruce Brown getting beat by an outlet pass today's game? No, you got to get back. Same thing happened on another play where Derek Lively got a dunk. That was a little frustrating. Doncic having some fun out there when he went by Bruce Brown, and there was no pick. He just went right by him. He got Jakob Poeltl underneath the hoop and did a ball fake, and Jakob jumped because he thought he was shooting. And then Luka obviously just joked and put it in and had a little laugh. Even the Raptors crowd went, whoa.
He put it behind his back too. Yeah. It wasn't just a pump fake. Yeah. I mean, how many times has Luka done putting the ball behind a guy's back this season alone?
Yeah. It's sort of his
five
thing.
To 10 times?
Yeah.
It's happening all the time. It used to just be Larry Bird, but that was a sick highlight. Also, the pass to Tim Hardaway Jr. in the corner. I heard Derek Harper on the broadcast for the Mavericks said, some guys have more eyes than others.
Oh, wow. Well, we know Kyrie has a third eye.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Absolutely true.
Yeah. I love that pass too, because it's in Toronto and you even hear the crowd go, ooh, it's like they're even excited about it.
Yeah, I was like, was that sound piped in? Or just the Raptors
crowd loving it?
They're into this basketball game because they should be happy. Their starting lineup only got beat by 2 points in this game. Yeah, that's decent against the Dallas Mavericks, because everybody thinks the Raptors just stink. But it was their bench that got beat, so that was the unfortunate part.
When is the Mavericks' next game? I just wanted to look that up because, it's on March 1st, so that's tomorrow night on ESPN in Boston. I wonder, because the guy celebrating his 25th birthday in Toronto after a win where he dominated... I'm going to assume Luka had some fun last night. But I don't know. Maybe they got on the plane and flew to Boston for all I know. I'll excited to see how he plays tomorrow night.
Got a whole day to recover.
Yeah, yeah. But you never know. He can have how much fun he had.
It's a great point.
Right?
Watch your back, Luke Kornet.
That's right. That's right. Okay, and then we got to touch on this game. DeMar DeRozan scored 35 points as the Bulls outlasted the Cavaliers. It was the game that would never end. 132 to 123 in double overtime. And Trey Kirby must have been loving it because holy rebounds. Holy big beef from Drummond with... Did they give him another board?
26.
Yeah, yeah. I thought he had 25, but 26 in the end. And just... I guess 74 total rebounds for Chicago.
Yeah, 74 to 39 board advantage for Chicago last night. 74, obviously the most rebounds by a team at all this season. They had 25 offensive rebounds, somehow only tied for fourth among teams this season. But it was reminiscent of Knicks versus Cavs in the playoffs. If you're a Cavs fan, you're probably like, uh-oh. So, not great seeing our two big guys get dominated by two other big guys in Vooch and Drummond. But Drummond, yeah, 26 boards. That's a lot of roast beef. 91st time of his career that he's had 20 or more rebounds. Third time this season. He's also got the three highest rebound totals of anybody this season. He's the best rebounder since Dennis Rodman. How many 20 rebound games do you think Dennis Rodman has?
Oh my God, it must be an insane amount.
40.
It's going to go
158.
Yeah, I was going to say 70. Okay,
158.
Holy crap.
So a little more time for Drummond to try and catch him here. But in the, I guess it was second overtime, Adam Amin and Stacey King were literally just laughing about how many rebounds the Bulls had. Yeah. I think they had 70 at that point. And as they're talking about that and laughing, Andre Drummond has a putback dunk to really seal the game for the Bulls. So I thought that was perfect. Also, the first time the Bulls have beat the Cavs since Donovan Mitchell showed up.
Mm.
I thought that guy was going to take over in the fourth quarter, right. But he kind of just had a down game. Only 19 points, 3 assists, 5 turnovers. Just wasn't really the aggressive guy out there.
Yeah, only 13 shot attempts for Donovan Mitchell. You know, obviously Garland shooting more, Mobley shooting more, Allen nearly shooting as many times, Strus equaling Mitchell on shot attempts. It is a quiet game for him. And it wasn't like, you know, Caruso's not out there like hounding him or something like that. So, yeah, just a weird one from him. Thoughts on this game?
Well, yeah, the Bulls just able to get to the offensive glass over and over and over again was key to me watching the game. That's a lot of rebounds. That's a lot of roast beef. That's a lot of rebounds to be able to get on the Cavs, especially on the Cavs, who are a monstrous team when they want to be.
It was the highest single game total by a team for rebounds since the Bucks snagged 81 boards in a 2015 triple overtime game against the Nets. So it took them 5 extra minutes to get to 81.
Wow.
And there you go. 81? Shout out to Statitudes for that. Yep.
Jeez.
Yeah, but 74, no joke. Again, they played 10 more minutes of basketball, but yeah, they did work. Especially Drummond, who is just a monster. He just looks like a monster.
That's humongous, man. Yeah. That guy's like a refrigerator. We call him the gentleman, but he could be the fridge.
Yes.
As well, the big penguin, he was dancing out there. That guy's just so funny to watch. Also, a bad foul, I thought, by Jared Allen at the end of, I think this was at the end of regulation. We just saw the Bulls go 2 for 29 from three.
Right.
DeMar DeRozan catches the ball down three outside the arc, pump fakes Jared Allen, goes to the line and knocks down 3 free throws. Probably give DeRozan that shot.
And can you tell us about this new man that just showed up to basketball last night? Bateem, I guess?
Bateem?
Yes.
I don't know much about him. This was his first real game. Like, I think he had played maybe 6 minutes before last night, but Billy Donovan was rolling with Onorlop. Onorlop Bateem.
Yeah.
I was hoping his name was pronounced Bite-em, because I like the way he was playing out there. Ferocious. 10 points, 6 rebounds. He made 2 clutch free throws in this game, and like, he played down the stretch for this team. They are so banged up at the wing position right now. Caruso going out gave him an opportunity, and he completely seized it, and all the other young guys were going crazy for him.
Yeah.
He won the dunk contest a couple times, apparently, as Stacey King was saying on the broadcast. Apparently, he's got hops. He wings
like
dunk
where
contest.
In Turkey?
Yes,
in Turkey. Yes.
Okay,
Turkish dunk contest.
All right, yeah. All right.
Never.
He
heard
looked
of
good
it.
Last night, but I was like, "Who the hell is this guy?"
Yeah,
Bateem.
Bateem. 24-year-old Rook.
It was cool to see Kobe White. They made this note at the bottom that this is the most threes he's ever hit in his career. Here we are, 3/4 of the way through the season. Mm-hmm. He's passed it because he's obviously having his career year. He's played the most minutes in the NBA this season.
It's like him and DeRozan, isn't it?
Really?
I thought they were like tied. Yeah, maybe
Kobe played 50 last night. DeRozan only 48.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe he took the lead. I saw they were like at the top at one point. And then I think it's Scotty Barnes coming in third there, but. It makes sense. They play well, and they're leaning on those guys at the guard position.
They have to play those guys.
Got to do everything to get into that play-in, or to stay in the play-in, which I'm looking pretty comfortable at this point that the Bulls will. But big win over a team that they generally lose to, like you said, with the
Dominican. They hadn't beat them since Mitchell showed
up. That's crazy. Yep. Wow. Any other thoughts, guys, from last night's games? No? Good. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we're hitting the beach to answer a few of your NBA questions. Don't go anywhere.
I gotta get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute, but man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch! We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/NoDunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/NoDunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp. Spring is the best time to add new challenges to your training just in time for those warm summer days. Pool season's coming soon, so I've been hitting the weights with Peloton and my guy Adrian Williams, trying to get my muscle on in order to expand my cannonball splash radius. Peloton's varying class lengths were designed with your training plan in mind. It's easy to personalize your workout. Whether you'd like to add a 10-minute core session at the end of your strength class, or take a 60-minute power zone ride to increase your endurance, Peloton classes are designed to help focus on your needs and goals. There are a variety of classes like boot camps, boxing, full body strength, or marathon training, all created to grow your skills or push you to improve in what you already excel in. And their expert coaches and nonstop vibes will push you to new levels of strength and endurance, keeping you on your toes while giving you the professional coaching you need. Shout out to Adrian, Aditi, Andy, and Emma. I love you all so much. Whether you prefer to run outdoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Get your head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
All right, here in the Classic Factory, it's been a while since we've hit the beach. Let's do it.
You got the buzz, I got the rockets. You got the nuts, I got the chocolates. We got that chit chat down pat, blah, blah, blah. You got that certain special, je ne sais quoi. Let's go.
Yeah, let's go to the beach, indeed. Send in your questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. You can leave them in the YouTube comments. We usually put a post out there on Twitter/X asking for your cues when we're getting ready to hit the beach. So multiple ways to get in contact with us and ask us a question like this one from Jose. It's a given. Wemby and Chet, a.k.a. Wet and Chembi, forgot we were doing that for a little bit, are going to finish 1-2 in the Rookie of the Year voting. But who will be the other three cracking all-rookie first team? It's a fun cue there.
It is a fun
from Jose.
Cue,
we're always talking about the top of the Rookie of the Year race, that it's likely going to be Wemby winning, probably won't be unanimous. Chet will come in second for sure. But, yeah, who rounds out the all-rookie first team? Who are the other three guys?
Yeah, it was interesting. Yeah, it's lock up top. Okay, those two guys are on the, they're on there.
Yeah,
interesting because nobody really expected Brandon Miller to be on there, but I think he is. I think he's lock to be on the all first team. He's had a good year on a terrible team, averaging 16.5 points per game on really good percentages, and above average on 3-point percentage on 6 threes. A game that he's taking, which is most for a rookie this year. So,
and he's gotten better as the season's gone on.
Yeah.
Because he started really slow and then,
again, the numbers could be bad on a bad team. But the percentages are really good. He just looks like he could be worth the number two pick as he was taken.
I agree.
Then I started looking. It is unfortunate that the number three pick, Scoot, isn't going to be part of the top five, unfortunately. No. So I just kept looking. It is interesting. It is interesting that there's a lot of good players coming off benches that don't have the numbers anymore. Cason Wallace, Keontae George, overall. So the fourth guy for me is Brandon Podziemski, who was on the bench for the Golden State Warriors for a long time. He's now taken over for Klay Thompson because he's so effective. He's leading the league in charges drawn. Not rookies. Not leading rookies. He's leading the NBA in charges drawn with 32. Nearly six rebounds a game at 6'4". He's fifth in rebounds among the rookies. So he just gets after it. 10-6-4 on great percentages. And third best offensive rating of rooks that have played a lot. Because he's just effective. That's why he's taken over for a team that, you know, has Hall of Famers. So they throw him out there. He's doing well. The last spot for me was a little difficult. Sometimes I'm Jaime. Sometimes I'm Lively. I'm not sure. But I went with Jaime Jaquez for now. It doesn't feel right. But he's just been playing really well recently. So 13 points on okay numbers, okay percentages. So he's up there. He's the fourth best scorer out there. He got it. He got the fifth spot for me.
Okay, so you have obviously Wemby. You obviously have Chet. Then you have Brandon Miller, Podziemski, and Jaquez Jr.
That's mine.
TK, you're nodding. Are you leaning towards a Lively or someone else over one of those guys at the end?
No, I had Jaquez ahead of Podziemski.
Yeah.
But it came down to Lively or Podziemski for the last guy. And I think that Podziemski probably just has a little bit more to him right now because Lively has an easier job. You set a screen and you roll to the hoop and Luka Doncic will throw you an alley-oop. He has completely helped the Mavericks. I think maybe has changed the course of their franchise a little bit since, you know, they tanked away the end of the season last year, got him with their pick, and he's been exactly what they were looking for to the point that the Mavericks went out and got more guys that played like him so they can replicate what he's doing. But I still got Pods ahead of him.
I agree with you guys. Lively will definitely be leading the all-rookie second team. He will be named to that for sure. Unlikely he cracks the first here. You know, he has played less than some of these other guys you've mentioned too. He had that stretch where he was out for a bit. I guess he's played like 41 games. Not that it really matters when it comes to rookie of the year or even all-rookie, but I think Lively will be on the second team, and I'm with you guys. I have Miller, Jaquez Jr., and then Podziemski along with Wet and Chemby, as we sometimes call them. But let's hear from you out there. Anyone else we are missing? I'm sure we'll do all-rookie second team down the line. You know, when we get closer to March Madness and everyone stops caring about basketball, the NBA for a second.
You think Batum's got a chance?
You know what? After what I saw last night, absolutely.
Yeah, 10-6, man. 10-6.
That's going to be fun.
He'll be on the second Batum.
I think we're going to have three teams.
No.
Yeah, we're gonna make three.
Oh,
teams.
We're gonna make three.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Cam Whitmore, I think, has got a chance.
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
He could be a second teamer.
What about
he
those
could.
Thompson Bros?
The Thompson Bros for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Next question.
Sure.
I was at the Cavs-Mavs game for the Max Strus miracle shot. Whew. While jumping up and down, celebrating with the boys, I fell and flipped over the empty seat in front of me. Oh my goodness!
Oh damn!
We got to get the footage somehow, somewhere. Yeah. Do you have any stories of celebration mishaps? Evan S. asking that question and flipping over a seat. Poor Evan S.
Do you think he was in the lower bowl or upper bowl? My gut says upper bowl because it's like more steep.
Yeah,
more
probably.
Likely that you could tumble. I don't know why. Right?
I guess.
I mean, I don't know what it's like there in the field house, but I've never been up in the upper bowl there. I've never been even in that arena, but...
reminded me of lower bowl, upper bowl. I had gone to a Cavs game earlier in my life, and my seat was on the lower bowl, but it was the last row of the lower bowl, but it was right in front of the stairs. Like, I was literally, if I just, you know, decided to turn around for some reason, just fall down, I would have fell down the stairs.
Oh, jeez.
Because it's just a weird spot.
Oh, I know what you mean. I've
it's like
I've
the last row was like, you're like sitting
too.
In front of the stairs. Yeah. If you got to pee before everybody, it's a good seat. You just fly down the stairs. But it's
put
a
on,
weird
put
one.
On, put on rollerblades like you're the Raptors mascot. Yeah. And just book it down there.
I always put on a diaper at the games. But no,
what? Like,
no,
like it's New Year's Eve?
No, I don't. But I don't
like
know.
You're in Times Square? All those people just sitting there in diapers, eh? Brought to you by Planet Fitness, taking a shit on New Year's Eve.
I wouldn't go out poop.
I always get in. I know you think it's more for pee. Yeah,
probably.
I don't believe this. I know this is a thing. I get into an argument every year with Nora about this because she's 100% convinced. Yeah, they're all wearing diapers. You can't leave. I just don't buy it. I don't know why. They're not all wearing diapers.
They interviewed a guy this year.
I'm not saying some people aren't. Just
he's like,
all
I am wearing
covers.
A diaper. He literally said, I'm wearing a diaper.
Oh, God. I can't think of something worse to do on New Year's Eve than stand around in a diaper in the cold.
Right?
Watching, right. like, some artist you've never heard of, you know. And
but you're not even... That stage isn't even facing you, really. It's like
why
you're just
you
there to watch a ball
You're literally
drop.
Just there to say, I was in
there.
Times Square for New Year's Eve in 2024, and I pissed myself three times. It didn't matter. I had on Depends.
It's a bucket list.
Okay. It's nice, though, because if you do wear a diaper and wet yourself, things are looking up for the rest of the year. Right? 1201 oh. hits, you're covered in your own urine.
Yeah,
it only gets better from here.
I guess. Yeah. I never thought about it that way.
And if you put on a diaper, you want to use it. Trust me.
When have you worn a diaper?
Right now.
Our show's not that long anymore.
Yeah, but we got a second podcast. I don't know if I got time to leave in between.
That's true. We do have no buffs to do later. Okay, let's answer this question. JD, if you have an answer too, jump in. I guess any stories of celebration mishaps? You got a good one?
I don't know if I got a good one, but back in college, we used to go to a guy's house named Jim Zekin, and one time... his buddy brought like a toy football helmet, and we put the helmet on his head and played a game called Helmet where we just slapped him in the head like 100 times. So it felt like a celebration, but he may have had a concussion afterwards because we were hitting him hard and it was like a toy helmet. Does that count?
I guess. Okay.
No, people celebrate like that, don't they? Just banging somebody's head?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think when he brought the helmet, I don't think he anticipated getting smacked in the head for the whole night.
Probably not.
No, absolutely not.
Helmet.
You Great reminded game. Me, I wasn't going to be my answer to this. I've told this story before, but I guess it's sort of a celebration mishap. We were watching a dunk contest way back in the day at our buddy Ken's house. We were in the basement, low ceilings. Everybody's getting hyped about the dunks. Somebody was jumping over somebody sitting in a chair in the dunk contest. I said, oh, I can do that. Let's do it. Ben Rycroft sat down in a chair, and I said, all right, here we go. And I tried to leap him, but, you know, again, short ceilings because we're in the basement. I'm sort of ducking while I'm jumping, and he just sat there super rigid, and my nuts hit him right in the forehead, and his head, like, jerked back. And, like, I got over him, and I'm like, yeah. But, like, he really hurt his neck.
That is not where I expected that story to go.
He needed a helmet.
He needed a helmet. Yeah, my nuts would have slid right off the helmet. But
yeah, man, I thought the mishap was going to be from you.
Yeah.
No,
I thought
no.
You were gonna hit your
I just specifically remember, like, I got, again, I jumped him, no problem. But, well, not no problem. He just... We were like, why didn't you just duck a little bit, you know? And he's just like standing like this. His neck went back. So I guess that's my second answer. Because my other answer is we played in 3-on-3 tournaments, you know, forever, you know, growing up. And outside of Stratford, which was a small town where we would win every once in a while, once we made it to Toronto and we put together 3-on-3 teams, competition, a lot better. So we would always come second. We would always get to the final in our bracket and our division, our age, all that. But we were always the bridesmaid until one year we finally broke through and we won it. And the celebration mishap is we partied our fucking faces off, man. Like it was insane. Like this was our championship. And the night got out of hand. I just remember walking home from Toronto and there was like construction equipment and we were like trying to fire it up and like we were in the bucket of like the lifter and all that. Like it got out of hand, man. So I had a hangover. Maybe that's why I was thinking about Luca there on his birthday, but the hangover lasted a couple days, so that's a mishap sort of.
Yeah, I think I remember that. I wasn't there, but
yeah.
I think I remember some stories.
Oh yeah, Kieran, Dub, and Brody, and myself. Oh man! But we
finally
won
a roster.
It. Yeah, it's true. That was a good roster. What about you guys?
I don't have one of a definitely not of a basketball affair. When I think of it, I think of baseball games last year. There was a fan who was getting a ball thrown to him. And he was standing, or sitting above, just above the bullpen, and he reached down, he stretched, and he fell into the bullpen. And it feels like basically he was all right. It was a Phillies fan in Boston, and he fell, in Fenway Park. It feels like baseball fans do that, though.
They fall
like,
over the railings yeah. a lot. Yeah. Sort of more than anyone else. Yeah. They're yeah. always in leaning the over row. Them. Yeah.
yeah, more leaning. Yeah.
More leaning. So I'm
what do you think they do?
Fans.
Like, what do they do? Like, they just let him go back to his seat?
No.
They don't kick him out, right?
No, they put him on a little, you know, a little... A little like a golf cart type thing.
Oh, is he
get him to the back.
So he was hurt.
Yeah, he was injured.
Oh.
They do all that.
Okay.
It was just like
they
in the
check on him, yeah.
It's like the Super Bowl where the Kansas City Chiefs guy was celebrating and he turned his ankle and then they put him on the little cart.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. Same thing.
JD,
that's what I thought of. My four-year-old is like, I was talking to her about it yesterday. She's like, yeah, that guy in the Super Bowl, he was having fun and he hurt his ankle.
Well, she
like,
remembered whoa. That. Wow.
Yeah, that's a yeah. memorable moment. He was celebrating. He was so happy. And he hurt his ankle. That was a good one.
Did you hear him in the Super Bowl, the guy, the streaker, about this? Did you hear the story?
No.
There was a streaker, right, in the Super
streaked,
Bowl?
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, they don't want to show
he
it
He wasn't
to
nude. Was he? Was he completely naked?
No, I thought he was wearing like a Borat store,
yeah,
sort of
yeah.
outfit.
Right, yeah.
But anyway, he bet on himself. He bet
oh,
on a streaker being
right.
in the Super Bowl. Like whatever, a pretty... A significant amount of money.
Right.
And then, you know, had to go to jail for one night and then made a ton of money. So.
Wow.
I mean.
You believe it?
I mean, I don't know.
I don't think you can bet $50,000 on something
I didn't think
like
you
that.
Could either. No. There's usually a cap on those. Mm. But maybe it was, I don't know, maybe someone would take the
spread
bet.
Spread the wealth.
Yeah, yeah right. True, true.
Anyway. 100 people to do it.
JD, yeah. do you have a celebration mishap?
I was at a concert, a small concert. I think it was The Cult. It doesn't matter. So there was a sort of shorter woman next to me and she had like. It was like a bar, so she had like a Long Island iced tea or whatever with a straw. And when they
oh, you're
hit
one of
the
those
stage, no spoilers, Trey. She just like threw her arms into the air, and the straw went right into my eye, like
gunk,
like one of those bit where everything goes white for a second, you know. And then I'm like, okay, this is not good. So she was celebrating. I was fine, but still scary.
Oh, very scary. Is that why you wear glasses?
These glasses do nothing. They're just to protect me from straw.
Okay, next one here from at Tall Guy Greg. For maybe the guy from Succession. For years, I've thought that Doc Rivers is overrated as a coach. The only true success he has to his name is with the Celtics, a roster full of self-motivated all-timers. Other than that, he's been gifted great teams and has accomplished little. On top of that, I've always respected Steve Kerr as a coach until recently when I realized that he only has one trick up his sleeve. Play smaller. Classic guard coach. He doesn't want to figure out how to use big men, so he plays small every time. My question, he only won 4 championships out of it, but okay. My question, what is something that you find completely overrated that most everyone else holds in high regard? Again, that's from at Tall Guy Greg. Who wants to get us started here? What's something that most people like or hold in a high regard that you think is actually overrated?
I read Tall Guy Greg's comment in multiple places, multiple social medias.
Oh, he really wanted this one.
Yeah, because he's tall. So he likes playing big man basketball, as he said. So he's mad at Doc. He kind of plays Embiid a little bit. That guy's tall. So anyways, you can get mad at him though.
He coaches a lot of tall guys now.
Yeah, that's all he does. Mine, I'm going with the Super Bowl. I'm sticking with the Super Bowl. Everybody afterwards said Usher's halftime show was monumental. It was amazing. It wasn't. It really was. He wasn't singing enough. He wasn't.
Here we go again.
There was too many vocals coming through the speakers. He was just allowing them to come through. I went back and watched it again.
Did you?
Yeah, and I understand he was putting on a performance.
Yeah, a lot going on.
Yeah, well, yes. It was just like, sing a line of music. Go put on your roller skates. Sing a line of music. Take a quick break. Put on your new onesie. Sing a line of music and then change the song real quick. And that's what it was. Stages and wardrobes. It wasn't singing. It was a singer who wasn't singing.
Mm.
He's damn a good singer. And he could hit some beautiful notes. But he was taking a break. It was like line stop, line stop, line stop. It was probably like 40 songs.
There's
I'm not even
lot.
Kidding.
There was a ton.
13,
he had a ton of songs.
It was 13 minutes. This guy can sing for 13 minutes. He can.
What do you want? An a cappella Super Bowl?
Yeah, but why not? Like, I like this idea. Or just strip everything down. Wow. Like, let's bring it down, everybody.
Okay, okay,
because,
okay.
Oh, Super Bowl unplugged.
Yeah, less spectacle, more...
just more John, you know, John Mayer on the guitar.
Yeah, it's become this stage show.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm dancing here on the grass, which was great. You know, he's dancing on the turf. That's cool. But, you know, he couldn't sing every freaking line.
He was exhausted.
Yeah, but the guy puts on like a 3-hour show in Vegas. That's what he did. And he's putting on shows the next year. 3 shows here in Atlanta, back to back to back. Those shows aren't 13 minutes. They're 3 hours one night. 3 hours the next night. Okay, I'm exaggerating. They're not 3 hours, but they're not 13 minutes. The guy can sing for 13 minutes. It was just odd. It was just odd.
And you think it was overrated? It got a good response.
It got a good response.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? People watch the first half of the football game and it stunk. So then they watch him at halftime and they're like, "Well, this is way better. This is better than football." He should have just punted. Should have kicked balls or something. I don't know. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, that's what the halftime show needed. More punting.
Yeah.
Watch this. But he sings the whole time.
Yeah.
That would be cool. That would actually be very cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
Okay. I love it. TK, what do you got?
Stranger Things has a 92 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yes. Oh, wow. Preach. Preach, Trey.
92. I watched season one. I thought it was pretty good. Fine. I like the mystery of, what do they call it? The underneath?
Yeah. The upside down?
Upside down, yeah. Yep. Yeah. You know, you finally like see the Demogorgon at the end of it.
Yeah.
Then season two, there's just Demogorgons everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Too many Demogorgons. And for that, I'm out. I'm not a Stranger Things guy.
92. It's very
pretty
high.
That's way too high for that show.
Okay, JD's agreeing. Yeah.
Definitely. Right.
Do you have anything, JD?
Family Guy never made me laugh. Never. I like Seth MacFarlane too.
Strong take.
Yeah.
Never made me laugh.
Well, it's a comedy. It's supposed to make you laugh.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I get that reference. You know, it's one of those where it's like, okay, that's clever, I guess.
A lot of references.
A lot of
references.
Maybe too many. Well, it's like a halftime show with Usher songs.
Well, JD, you won't like this answer from me. Star Wars. I actually wrote down Star Wars and mayonnaise. But then I got into a big debate with Nora that mayonnaise, I think, is very polarizing.
Yes.
I don't think she thinks more people than not hold mayonnaise in a high regard. I was like, I don't know. What do you think it is? 60-40? 70-30? Pro-mayo?
I bet mayo has an 80% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, okay. Then Nora's right. Yeah. I always thought mayo was more of a 50-50.
This country loves mayo.
Get out.
America and the Netherlands. Love.
They do love mayo.
Netherlands.
Yeah,
what a scoop.
French fries.
What a mayo scoop.
Yeah.
Belgium, anyway, maybe?
So I went mayo and Star Wars. I mean, just Star Wars, obviously.
Star Wars is definitely... overrated. Sorry, Esh. I know he's probably watching.
Yeah, I guess I should have apologized to him.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love it. I love Star Wars. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they've had a few whiffs, you know?
they have
some whiffs here and there.
Yeah.
Okay. What about the mayonnaise commercial during the Super Bowl?
Yeah,
people are eating mayonnaise. Just scooping
I hated
it.
That one.
Not good.
Off a spoon.
Yeah, that literally disgusts me.
That's kind of gross.
It's like... It was what like the one guy on Jackass, he hated mustard. Was it mustard or mayo? Now that I think about it. That's me, is what my point is.
Right.
If I was ever on Jackass, that's what they would do to me. They'd like, cover them in mayo. I'd gang. I don't like it.
Wow. If we ever bring back the Pick'em.
Oh, cover that'd be brutal, cover mayo. Brutal Pick'em payoff for me to eat a jar of mayo or
like... Oh, God.
Even if you like
mayo,
that.
That's a bad payoff.
Mayo on a sandwich, yes.
Yeah.
Bucket.
I don't care for it.
Just straight bucket.
And you love eggs, man. That's crazy.
I do love eggs. But I hate egg sandwich.
Egg salad sandwich?
Yeah. That type of, yeah.
All right, next question. Last question. Team USA's 12-man roster for the Paris Olympics appears to be taking shape. According to Shams, LeBron James, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Joel Embiid, Jason Tatum, Devin Booker, Anthony Edwards, Tyrese Haliburton, Anthony Davis, Bam Adebayo, and Drew Holiday are in the mix. That's 11. So, who you got for the final spot? That's from Ben. Now, Shams isn't saying those are the 11 guys that have made it. They haven't declared anything.
It feels
like it.
It feels like there's 7 locks if they're healthy and want to go, right? LeBron, Curry, KD, Joel Embiid, Tatum, Booker, and Drew. It sounds like those guys are in if they, again, are healthy and are good to go come the summer. the next four, Anthony Edwards, Halliburton, because they were just on the team that finished fourth. They played well, though. And then AD and Bam as those big guys. So that does, I mean, that makes sense, I think, when you're building the roster. Who then is that number 12? Doesn't matter at all with that team, but do you have a name that jumps out to you that you could see there as the 12th spot?
I got four names.
Okay.
From the pool. They're sure. All the same guy, kind of. They're all two-way wings. Mm-hmm. And in order of guys I would want, Kawhi Leonard, yeah. Paul George, Jimmy Butler, Mikal Bridges.
Yeah.
Like, they could use a wing. Like, when you're looking at this, they got a lot of good guards. They got a lot of good big guys. They could use a wing that plays both sides if Kawhi wants to play. Sure. I think Paul George, I would take over Jimmy Butler. Yeah, I said that out loud.
Wow.
But Paul George is a better outside shooter than Jimmy Butler, which is very apparent or very important in FIBA competition. But I got Butler over Bridges. But Bridges was great in the FIBA World Cup.
Okay. Yeah, makes sense. Sort of a small forward here.
Yeah. In the same regard, that's why Jrue Holiday sort of got a late addition here. He was recently added just this past week because he's a glue guy. He'll do it both ends, and that's what you need in addition to these guys. And that's why, yeah, Malik or Mikal Bridges, I was going to call him Malik. Mikal Bridges is definitely a guy who was great at that last year. He was really good at that last year, although this year has kind of taken that away from him in some regards because Brooklyn has stunk, but he was awesome then and before then.
Yeah, Shams and Joe Varden in their article, Team USA has been pursuing Holiday for much of the NBA season, and Holiday has delivered his commitment to USA basketball officials in recent weeks. And he was good in 2021 in the Tokyo games. He played really, really well. You know, they say some people are like, oh, he's the second most important player for that team behind Kevin Durant. So you can see why Jrue Holiday is maybe in the mix. Okay, the dogs have an opinion.
They don't like Jrue Holiday.
I guess not. He's got that. I thought he had that dog in him. Dog's great. But I think TK, you've nailed it there. The position will be one of those elite small forwards. If you know, be it Kawhi, Paul George, Jimmy, sort of as a small forward, it's gonna be one of those three guys. But then again, like, this is a long way away. It's not a lock that all 11 of these guys that we say as likely are gonna be there.
Yeah.
Well, Embiid is out right now.
Embiid's knees going to want to be there? Yeah,
that's true. All right, let's wrap up this bad boy with Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Tweet of the Night. I have it.
Yeah.
Let's get away from basketball for a second, guys. Tweet of the Night comes from Variety Magazine. Now, I didn't go on Twitter. I was annoyed because I had Tweet of the Night, but then I was going to have to go on Twitter. So I just reached out to my friend Matty O, and he sent me a flurry of tweets that I could use.
Oh.
But this one's from Variety Magazine, and it's a quote from the great Denis Villeneuve. Dune 2 is coming out tomorrow. But he had this insane take. It's very long, but he basically says he hates dialogue.
Yeah.
In movies. Dialogue is for theater and television, he says. I don't remember movies because of a good line. That's insane to me. I mean,
it's a crazy take.
It's a crazy take. I mean, his thing is, you know, I want to make a movie with no dialogue, and then you walk out of the movie going, there was no dialogue in that. That was amazing. Fair enough. Right. He's an artist. I get it.
Yeah.
But my question to you guys is, what's your favorite movie line, I guess? The most memorable movie line. The one that takes you back to, makes you think of a movie. You know what I mean? Like, I'll give you an example. I'll give you mine.
Okay.
There's this really obscure Canadian movie called Highway 61. Have you ever seen it?
No.
It's like, I couldn't tell you.
70s, 80s?
Probably late 80s, maybe early 90s.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Bruce McDonald, I think, directed it. Anyways, okay. It doesn't matter.
Highway 61.
There is a scene in it. Yeah. It's basically a road trip on Highway 61. And it's Satan is in it. He's just a guy, like a smarmy guy in it. And he goes and he plays bingo. He gets stuck in a small
like
town.
Satan is acting in it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, Satan is the character, sorry.
Oh.
I couldn't name the actor. So he goes, he's stuck in a small town, and he goes to play bingo, and he wins every single bingo thing because he's Satan, right?
Okay.
And then as he's getting up, he's got like a toaster oven and a macrame pot holder and whatever, you know, and some cash, I guess. And as he's leaving, this woman goes, cheater, like an old woman. She goes, you're a cheater. And he goes, lady, you can't cheat at bingo. If you could, I would, but you can't. I won because I was lucky. lucky to wind up in a town full of losers to the whole room. And then as he's leaving, he trashes the macrame thing.
Okay.
Anyways, I couldn't tell you anything else that happens in that movie, okay. But it's just fucking burned in my brain.
Oh, okay.
So every time somebody says, I'm lucky, I think of that. That's dialogue, Denny. That's dialogue.
That's dialogue.
Dialogue, Denny.
So I guess my question to you is, what's your favorite movie?
Well, I have one like that, because it's a movie I've never seen in its entirety, but obviously because of the dialogue and because of some of the quotes, I know it enough. A Few Good Men.
Oh, you can't
handle the truth. I've never watched that entire movie, but the courtroom scene with Tom and Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah. The classic I Want the Truth. You can't handle the truth.
Yeah.
That's a great movie.
That's a great movie.
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
Absolutely.
Great dialogue.
Yeah.
My favorite version of that movie was when that Snapchat filter with like the crazy eyes was going around. There's an awesome cut of it from that scene. And Kevin Bacon's got the grace.
Yeah. He's doing a pretty good job of that Snapchat filter.
Yeah, it's because my eyes are tiny in general. So when they open to normal person size, it looks absurd. Yeah.
Really like
okay. Yeah, they're doing that in basketball arenas now.
Yeah, they did that at the All-Star game.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's a funny one.
That's how you do it.
Tassie, you got one?
I got one. I've been on a Mark Zuckerberg rabbit hole recently because he's been in Japan. He was commenting on the McDonald's menu and how good it is in Japan. You know, he's an
anime. He wants to give them a Michelin star.
Yeah, apparently it's that good. Yeah. He broke it down. Every single item. You know, some got 8 out of 10 for him. So I think he was being
sweet baby Ray's on every product over there.
He didn't like the teriyaki for some reason. Anyway, but he's making swords out there. He's fighting MMA currently, although I think he got injured and had a surgery. Anyways, yeah, that doesn't matter. That's not the point.
Okay.
That's not the point of this, because it just got me thinking to The Social Network.
Which was
very fun. And the first scene where Mark Zuckerberg's character is sitting across from Albright. It's Eric Albright. And they're going back and forth. And I loved it because they didn't understand each other. But they're still sort of locked into each other and they're thinking about each other. And then her comment at the end was great. She said, "You're probably going to be a very successful computer person, but you're going to go through life thinking that girls don't like you because you're a nerd. And what I want you to know from the bottom of my heart, that won't be true. It'll be because you're an asshole." That was great. It was a great opening scene and a very fun movie. So
love that movie.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Fincher.
It's my favorite director, JD. I don't know about you.
Yeah, well, he's up there for sure.
He's awesome.
What do you have for this, TK?
A movie that I only remember because of one line is Starsky and Hutch. They remade it in 2004 with Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson. They go and visit Will Ferrell in jail, and they're trying to get a bunch of information out of him. But Will's creeping, so he makes Owen Wilson first show him his belly button. Then he says, "Get up and walk around, turn around slow. Then arch your back and look back at me mean, like a dragon." So Owen's doing it. But here's the quote I always think about, literally all the time. They need their final piece of information, and Will looks at him and says, "It's going to get weird. Two dragons." That's the whole line, man.
You think about that all the time.
All the time. Anytime somebody says it's going to get weird.
Okay.
Two dragons. Funny scene. Watched it this morning.
Love it.
Not a good movie.
No.
Nah, yeah, there's another good line in that movie where like Ben Stiller is in costume. I think he's like a big costumes guy in this movie. He just keeps saying, "Do it. Do it."
Okay, I've seen I've heard that before. That's where that's from. Do it.
Two dragons.
Fantastic. Well, let's call it there. Let's hear some of your favorite, most memorable quotes. Drop them in the YouTube comments. Tweet them in at No Dunks Inc. This guy's going to piss his diaper in a second here because we got a second podcast coming up.
I'm going right now.
Oh, Jesus. No buffs, baby. Survivor returned to our television screens, and the dialogue was great.
It really was.
We'll be breaking down episode 1, 2-hour premiere from last night, Survivor 46, at 1 p.m. Eastern. No buffs. That link is in the show notes. Please click that. Subscribe to No Buffs on YouTube. Search for No Buffs / Survivor 46 there in your podcast platform of choice, and subscribe to the pod, because we do this every Thursday for the next 13 weeks, I guess 12 weeks after today.
Yeah.
And the buzz seems to be building, Skeets. Somebody sent me a screenshot from the Survivor subreddit yesterday. Somebody called us part of the Holy Trinity of Survivor podcasts.
Ooh.
After Rob and Tyson.
Whoa.
Okay.
Okay, that's nice to hear. There's a lot of great Survivor podcasts.
But they're right.
They are right. You know, I've been listening to a lot of Watch What Crappens, which is a very funny reality TV podcast. It's two guys that recap almost every Bravo show imaginable.
Okay.
They're very funny, but they go through it like basically scene by scene. And I was like, oh, we're the Watch What Crappens for Survivor, because we really go through every scene,
right,
and we make fun of everyone, and we have a laugh. So check out No Buffs. Even if you don't like Survivor, you might enjoy the three of us breaking it down. And we had a great, great first boot to discuss here. A legend was born last night and killed in within 2 hours. So
first boot?
First boot, yeah. That's what they call it.
Oh, okay.
Like
kicking somebody off. Yeah, I thought it was a cool name.
So we'll be talking about that at 1 p.m. Eastern. And then we'll be back tomorrow here in the Classic Factory for the Drop podcast. We might do a little predicting, projecting, whatever you want to call it, for some All-NBA teams. We got some games on tonight, and we'll have some more fun there with Rapid Fire. That's tomorrow, though, on No Dunks. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and remember, Watch What Crappens.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a good name for a diaper brand.
Embrace the name, people.